Got me a bottle of water. Good morning. Nice to be home. My wife is still in Florida. She'll be there until the weekend of the men's retreat. She'll drive over to Jacksonville to pick up Leanne and bring Leanne home. Now, their plan is to drive only as far as Leanne thinks she can take it each day. They're to be home on the weekend, but I'm expecting they might not be home till about Easter. We'll see. Anyway, speaking in New Smyrna, Florida, it's a nice assembly. It's where Michelle Schneider's parents go. They come here and they've gained some young couples. I don't know how or from where, but they are having some growth. And one of the young men who shared at the Lord's Supper is a Cuban, but he speaks fluent English, and his wife is, thank you, Ray, his wife is Cuban, Puerto Rican, and they're very enthusiastic, and it was a good time. They'll have a potluck, and then after the potluck, why, it's a beautiful day, 71, up by the beach, felt good. But I miss home. I came home Tuesday night, under on what might be called the red eye. And there's no place like my little home, my little plot of ground in this world, my church family, my friends, those are the things I do. And it's certainly good to be home. Turn to 1 James, yeah. Going to be one of those days again. Turn to 1 James. Okay, turn to James, chapter 5. Last week, now, the last time I spoke here, I spoke on this portion of Scripture. But I focused on the portion that people spend too much time on. The healing. Now, when I became a brand new believer, and I went to the Free Church, and was given my Scripture Bible, I was absorbing doctrine at a quick rate. But I wanted to just see what was going on. So I am familiar with other groups. I've had people lay their hands on my hearing and anoint me with oil. I've had people tell me that my hearing could be healed if I believed, if I had faith. I went through a lot out of curiosity. And while I was going through that as a young believer, I was never satisfied with what they said. God protected me from falling into the traps. So last time I spoke, on January 18th, I focused on the healing aspect. But let me tell you something. That is not the primary message of this portion. All right? Now I want to go back today and tell you what this portion is really talking about. We had to talk about the healing because of the confusion. And there is a lot of confusion. And when you reach confusion, confusing portions, be careful about falling too quickly for one particular viewpoint, especially if it's hard to back up by Scripture. Now we're near the book of James. I speak next week, and I plan to speak next week on verses 19 and 20, and finish James. I hope you have been learning from it. I'm going to ask a question this morning. just for curiosity's sake. And I went to raise your hand. It's not personal, so don't worry about that. How many of you sit here and use the New International Version scripture? Huh? Okay. How many of you use the New King James? The Old King James. New American Standard. All right. The English Standard Version, ESV. All right. This is one of the things that sometimes becomes a little frustrating when we're speaking. There are different wording in these. Now, I'm using the New American Standard. But there are different wordings in some of these. And it's important that you understand, as I go through this, the version I'm using and where I'm getting my thought from. But we can't make people read out of one version. We can't stand by the back door and hand out a certain kind of Bible. I have all of them, and I use them in study. I have many others also. I use them in study, I use them for reference, I use them for comparing. The main point of this portion is not the Hebrew or not the Old. The main point is this. It is a basic portrayal of the Christian life. There's a lot in various experiences than many different experiences in many different circumstances. Now, when this portion was read, I want somebody to answer this if you can and yell it out because of my hearing loss. Did you notice any word in every one of these verses? Every one of these verses contains the same word. And one of them contains it twice. The word is prayer. Every verse uses the word prayer. Now, the thing is this. It is the unifying theme is prayer and the life of the Christian. The importance to pray. Now, pray for the believer's life. And we're going to read one of these verses quickly. Now, again, we talked about the healing bed last week. Don't want to do it again. First, let's go there. As I'm suffering, let him pray. Night, is that let him sing songs. All right, the first thing is if anyone is suffering, the word can be afflicted, the word can be troubled. Pray, take these things before God. And if anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. Cheerful. Not only means outward exuberance and everything, but it is the also pertains to the inner life where you're just at peace and you're having the time in your Christian life where things are going well. That too is a time to pray and thank God, because you and I know that doesn't go on forever. Verse 14. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right. It's to call and then to pray. We'll talk about that very briefly. And this word sick here can be troubled, That's what is physical. We'll talk about that. Right? And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. Now, last time, I showed you, or I tried to show you, that the word sick in verse 14 and the word sick in verse 15 are two different verses. Maybe your version has picked that up so that you would see the difference. But there's a difference, all right? Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Praying for one another. I'm going to touch every one of these verses. And then verse 17 and 18 talked about Elijah praying. Now, you find 17 and 18, you'll find that it's an incredible portion. Because in that portion, Elijah is having conflict with Ahab. There's already been a 6-month drought. There's no rain. It didn't take 3 years. Ahab is searching for him high and low. Meanwhile, he stayed with a widow. Son died, and the son was healed. I mentioned, and I think this is important, that if the purpose of James in this chapter was healing, why did he mention it when it came to Elijah? He focused on something else. Prayer. All right. Verse 18. And he prayed, and the sky poured out rain, and the earth produced fruit. Every verse is prayer. See, the Christian life is a life of living faith, and prayer is an essential part of it no matter what we go through. And we were going on to verse 13. As among the word can be trouble, hardship, that have to do with misfortune, can have to do with calamity. It can be physical, mental, personal, financial, spiritual, more. But it is not intended to be only physical. You know, and I know, that the life, even for a believer, can be difficult. I mean, the economic downturn a number of years ago ruined my son's business. He lost his business. He lost his house. Wow. And the whole world changed. Everything changed then. No, it wasn't his fault. And during times like that, you're to pray. So, these problems, troubles, it can be physical. And you know that sometimes physical problems can be a result of the difficulties that we have in our lives and the troubles, the stress. Stress causes problems. Stress causes difficulty. Stress can cause sickness. And the mental hardship that comes from it. What do I mean by that? Not that we go crazy, but the mental. What's God doing? Did I do something wrong? Why isn't God blessing me? Why aren't things going the way I want? I've given myself to Him. I'm serving Him. And it creates mental conflict, mental turmoil, confusion. And we are to pray. It can be spiritual. We begin to doubt what God is doing. we begin to doubt God. Now I know. So I doubted God once in a while. But I can tell you that I know what these Russians can do as a missionary. Things started to go bad. There were troubles. First thing you think about is, it's my fault. What did I do? Then the next thing you think about, I'm not spirit enough to see this through. I shouldn't be here. On and on. Pray. Bring them and order to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray. And if you don't receive a clear answer right off, pray. Because what prayer does is bring me into contact with the mind of God. The more I pray, I get to the place where I begin to see that maybe God has something specific for me. I didn't like going deaf. I've talked about this a million times. I guess I'm sick of it. I had people pray for my hearing, and I lost the mission field, and I can't tell you how much I love the mission field. I was meant to be a missionary. I was meant for that kind of life. And I began to think, well, I wonder if God is yanking me from the mission field because I'm not qualified, I'm not good, I'm not doing what he wants me to do. All right, so, if anyone of you is suffering, any kind of trouble or hardships or calamity or misfortune, pray. And if you're joyful, cheerful, not just only outwardly, but inwardly, well, sing praises and thank him. And pray too. Number 14. All right? Verse 14. And verse, of course, a verse I talked about last time. So I'm not going to go into much detail. If anyone among you is sick, the word can mean no strength. It can have the debilitating effectness of sickness, bodily weakness. It can, the Greek word can denote any kind of mental of weakness, mental, moral, spiritual, and physical. Now, I want to show you something here, and I think that, I don't want to show you something. Yes, I do. Here it is. I need my wife. You know how hard it's for me to get started in the morning with my hearing loss? Getting out of bed. Doing all these things that women are supposed to help you do. I went to bed last night and I thought, now on Sundays I get up early. How am I going to get up at that hour Sunday morning without Donna kicking me out of bed? And you know what? I rolled over this morning, looked at the clock 2 minutes earlier then she normally gives me a boot. So I got up, pretty cool. How many of you have Bill McDonald's commentary? Tons of people in the chapel have it. One of the nice things about Bill McDonald's commentary is that he has it a number of things called excursus. Have you seen those? Look for them. They are simple reviews, but very, very well thought out reviews on certain subjects. And his excursus on divine healing. In case you're concerned, page 1058, Excursions on Divine Healing. Now, you know, Bill McDonald's commentary is quite simple. Some people are disappointed. But the more you get to know the Word and the more you read commentaries, then the more you study, you begin to realize that Bill McDonald had a gift, the same gift that Harry Ironside had, and other men, making the complicated simple, and yet knocking the ball right out of the park. So, if you Bill McDonald's commentary, it was edited by Arthur Farstead. Tim Scannon was here a few weeks ago, and he's married to Arthur Farstead's niece. But the thing about Arthur Farstead is he was also the leading Greek scholar on the New King James Bible and taught Greek at Dallas. This Excursions on Divine Healing has 10 very simple, interesting points. And I think that if you have McDonald's commentary, you should find these places where there are excursions. There are excursions on prophecy, excursions on parables, on all kinds of subjects. And that's worth the price of the commentary as far as I can see. All right, so even though it can be any debilitating thing, any weakness, here it is primarily physical weakness and sickness that can often awaken a consciousness of sin in us. And that's why we have this sin. Person calls the elders. It's up to the person to call the elders. I like what one of my favorite commentators said, D. Raymond Hebert. He didn't write enough. His commentaries are basically from articles he wrote in BIPSAC, Dallas Theological Quarterly. Moody published them. Excellent commentaries. And here's what Hebert says. It is not the duty of elders of the church to go scouting for the sick. The sick call the elders. Because the sick person believes that the sickness is a result of sin. Now, you know, Satan caused the sickness too. Paul said, Satan gave me a thorn in the flesh. I prayed 3 times. And what did God say? No. I want you to have it. My grace is sufficient. Paul accepted it. So Satan can do it too. Stress. The sin of struggling and fighting with daily living in the Christian life or temptation can cause sickness. And I mentioned this before, but I know. Because all those chest pains I had and twice taken to the hospital thinking I had a heart attack proved to be nothing. They simply said, there's nothing physically wrong with you. And I said to Dr. Mon, my cardiologist, it's up here. It's not my department. But the look in his face was, find somebody. So. When I started getting a little help, I had to give up a few things, which was all right, because I was already in my late 60s. But the pains went away. I haven't had them once in 3 years. Wow. All right. Well, anyway, we move on. So, it's primarily physical, but not all physical problems are due to personal sin. But the most logical thing a person does when they get sick, especially when it's debilitating or it's going to be chronic, is ask the Lord is our sin life. That's how we as human beings are. This person calls the elders. They come because they feel they have something they want to say to the elders. And so they talk with the elders, all right? So not all sickness is due to personal sin. The elders pray, all right? First step is taken, again, as I said, by the sick person. And it's done in the privacy of a home. The person calls the elders. And it's done in the privacy. Now, all right. James says, let him call the elders of the church. I want to stop there. The only time James mentioned the church in his book, in chapter 2, when he says, if any man come into your assembly, that is the word for synagogue. It was the only time he uses it. It's interesting, though. Call the elders of the local church. They pray over him. And they anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right. And I will move on. So, it's important to get this behind. I might, because last time I didn't stop and pause about the oil. I didn't want to. But in Mark, it's only used in Mark 6:13, where the Lord sent the disciples out, two by two, and they went out to cast out demons, healing and anointing with oil. But there is no instruction from the Lord to anoint with oil. Look at it closely. No instruction from the Lord to anoint with oil. And in Luke 10:34, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan found a wounded man. Listen to what it says. He bandaged the wound, put oil and wine on them. Don't ask about the wine. Pouring oil and wine on them. I don't know. But don't start pouring wine on people now. But he bandaged them up. He poured oil and wine. All right. That's the only place. All right, now verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. The prayer of faith. Interesting. Again, this is the only place the New Testament mentioned that phrase, the prayer of faith. And this prayer of faith will raise the person up. And they, verse 15, and they will confess their sin. They will be forgiven their sin. No human being can forgive you your sin. Only Jesus Christ can. So, the sins are forgiven is that the elders have a ministry in helping the person understand what might be going on. And the elders in the local church are not said to have the gift of healing, as I mentioned before. Nowhere. Our elders are told in the instruction there, they're a group of people that have the ability to heal. We should always add to this verse, if God wills. I got to the point where, Lord willing, I know you can heal, Lord, but there's a reason why I have this deafness. And being the kind of man I am, introspective, doubtful, insecure, I ask you to help me see, to go on. Prayer. Now, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now I'm going to stop here and take some time. As a young believer, when I was kind of looking around, I was still going to the free church and absorbing the doctrine, but I was still messing around on the fringe. There were groups who thought that there should be confession meetings in the local church. Somebody read somewhere that revival starts by confessing sins. Yeah, if you study the history of revivals, people always confess their sins. They confess their sinners. But these meetings had something that was distorted. They believed if you got up and confessed your sin, somebody, and another person got up and confessed their sin, and another, and another, and another, that would bring a revival. This is not a church meeting where we are getting up and telling everybody what our problems are. There's some danger in that. This is something smaller. I attended Alcoholic Anonymous meetings a lot. No, I'm not in the hooch and never have been. But I went to the AA meetings with my father. Right. He'd go in. Hi, my name's John. All I knew his name was John. They didn't know anything about him other than that he was an alcoholic. And he found or was looking for strength. I enjoyed going to those AA meetings because I was looking and thinking about how they were working it, keeping things within a small circle. No last names, no professions, no addresses, no nada. And I find it interesting. So, this verse, if we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. I believe, I really do, that this is dealing with something that is going on in my life. Temptation. Specific sins. Difficulties. I need to share it with somebody. I need somebody to pray for me. I've mentioned 100 times also in the past. When I was a missionary, I didn't want to work alone. I didn't trust myself. When I say I didn't trust myself is, in those days, it was too easy for me to get off on a tangent, an axe to grind. But I wanted a partner who not on things, but I could open my heart to and tell him and share with him. After the Yeros came to Bucaramanga and we got working together, Dick and I had plenty of time to talk. And one day on the way to Malaga, Dick said that's what he was praying for too. And so we shared with one another things I wouldn't share with you for fear it would go all over creation. It was a help. It was wonder. So I may be not hearing this correctly, but a private gathering where confidences are shared for the purpose of mutual help and intercession. And it is not a meeting where we have a confession meeting and we're all going to get up and say something. When people have a burden, find a friend, somebody who's godly, somebody who understands grace. Get it? Understand grace. And you can sit with that person and say, my mind has been in turmoil lately. I can't settle it down. And that person, we talk, we pray. We support one another, just like they do in AA. So, these are sins that break the conscience, which the person feels the need for brotherly intercession. I've had people come to me, I've gone to people, and I've had people come to me and share things with me. And I prayed with them, and I could see that the thing that was bothering them was really stressful. And that they were getting warped into thinking about God, warped into thinking about victory, thinking they could never have victory. So, verse 16, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Again, it may not necessarily be from physical problem, but it can cause so much mental anguish and doubt. This intercession must have a sympathetic ear. Galatians 6:1, a sympathetic ear. If you panic, boy, I better tell the elders, guy's going to ruin the church. You're not going to help him. You're not going to help the church. You're not going to help her. You're not going to help the church. So, it must be sympathetic. I mentioned this before. I want to say it again. Never, never say to someone, well, I haven't gone through that. I it's not been a problem. You know, I don't know. I just don't understand. You're just taking the heart rate out of the person. Because even though our problems may not be exactly the same, they still cause the same kind of problem. Doubts, confusion, concern. So problems don't have to be the same. The end result many times is, all right, it says they're healed. Physical, maybe physical. Person is so caught up in a particular thing, physically changes them. Someone began to go to the Potawatomi place downtown. Good dinner, nice. Started doing a little bit of gambling. Now put some quarters in. Pretty soon more and more. And it took the person and just completely, physically, and spiritually dragged that person down. They were losing money. They were stressed. They knew it was wrong, but could hardly wait to get down there and try their luck. I learned as a young man, I'm a loser. I never won anything in my life. So I wouldn't waste a nickel on anything. So it can be diseases of our life, our soul. All right. You can confess your sin to one another. We're not talking about groups. Now, Phil Geikema. Remember Phil? He and Edna came here for VBS, and I had a nice time with Phil the other day. Donna and I did, and Donna was at Bear Lake this morning where Phil and Edna work. His couple is terrific. I'll tell you why. Because they're hard workers, but they're always cheerful with good attitudes. Phil, studied psychology. Now, he doesn't have a master's, but he's licensed by the state of Florida. And he had some Saturday morning studies with a few men who are becoming obsessed with pornography. Three or four men. And it really helped, he said. It really helped. Okay, so verse 16 has nothing to do with assembly meetings where we get up and confess. It's personal, but it's small, and it's seeking somebody out who is sympathetic and understanding. Read Galatians 6:1. Okay, I must move on. Now, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. And he brings out a man who prayed. You know something? If you read 1 Kings 17:1 through chapter 18, it never said he prayed. Doesn't say he prayed. Did James make it up? Nah. But it never said he prayed. The only place it gives any indication, and this is probably where they got it, this is in 1 Kings 18:42 to 45, where it said Elijah fell on his knees, put his hand on his face and his head between his knees. And we assume that prayer. But he brings down about Elijah, right? So, Elijah was a man, but he says, look it, Elijah was a man like us. He has same feelings. Boy, I tell you, those two chapters are terrific. Ahab really ticked off at Elijah. He's got scuffed all over the place looking for Elijah. Can't find him. His wife ticked off. Can't find him. God took Elijah and put him by the brook Cherith. The brook dried up. So he was affected by his own prayer. And the ravens came and fed him. And then a prophet who was in the court of Ahab, who hid prophets, who was kind of trying to have an influence but playing low key, was told to go look for Elijah and ran into him. And Elijah said, I want you to go over to Ahab and tell him, he's going to kill me. What did you tell me? You go tell him. I talked to him. And in this also, the section where Elijah is so worn out from the battle against the prophets of Baal, so physically and emotionally worn out, that he ran and he hid under a tree and he asked to die. See? Now, what I'm saying, when it says Elijah's like us, he has the experience of other men, the weaknesses we may have. And God used him, but he was so spiritually fatigued. It said he ran ahead of Ahab in his chariot. Elijah was so wound up that he pulled up and girded his loins, ran faster than Kirsten can run 15 miles. She runs that far, I think. Anyway, he was worn out and he went to hide. He saw no hope because that's what trials do to us. In Acts 14:15, after Paul and Barnabas did some miracle, the people called them gods. Went to make them. And they said, "What are you doing? We're just ordinary people like you. What are you doing? This is the power of God. We're ordinary people like you." He prayed. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And again, as I said, there's no mention of prayer there. But James didn't make it up. Let me summarize this portion. I want to reiterate one more time that the main idea of this portion is not physical healing and anointing with oil. It is prayer. And every aspect and every part of our lives, every verse contains the word prayer. Cool. I like that. Prayer is continuous. Good times, bad times, pray. If things are good and you're not praying much about yourself and your needs, pray for others. Prayer is continuous. Prayer is also designed for every part of life. And you can see that as you read this, for every part of life. I woke up this morning panicked. I mean, no wife to make me breakfast. I've got my little habit, say, get up, shower, grab my cup of coffee, brush up on my sermon, get dressed, breakfast is waiting. I didn't even have breakfast this morning. And, but for desire, right, and I was panicked. I was panicked. And I sat there going over this, and I just said, "Lord, I really need you today so that I can explain this clearly. I really feel under stress." All right. Prayer is no substitute for responsible and intelligent action. If you know what you're supposed to do, do it. See. There was a woman years ago at Free Church, Ethel Johnson. She had been a missionary in India for almost 50 years. And she was home on furlough, and we went to the train station to see her off, and we sang some hymns. And we talked, and the pastor right there at the train platform here in Milwaukee, just before she got on, she pulled me aside. I was scared of her, 50 years of missionary, and I'm just a new believer. She pulled me aside, and she said, "I understand you have an interest in missions." Yes? "Don't turn back." She said, "I was interested in missions, and I kept finding excuses. Excuses why I shouldn't be a missionary." And then she said, "One night, I came to the evening meeting." I like this. This is cool. I came to the evening meeting here at Ebenezer, and I said, Lord, if the song leader starts off tonight with this song about reaching the world, and she named the song, I'll go. When the song leader got up, I said, let's turn to page 178, and they sang the song. And she said, bang, the Lord just woke me up. I thought it was pretty cool. It was really, I didn't tell anybody, she said, but it's the first song he sang. That's the song he said, if he sings it, I'll go. Now, it is no substitute for responsible and intelligent action. Now listen to this. If you are sick, contact the elders and also seek proper medical treatment. All right? Now, I know there's different views. But if you are sick, contact the elders to pray. And then seek proper medical help. I know as we get older, every time we go to the doctor, they ain't going to give me another pill. I just passed my 74th birthday. Every time I go, I figure he's going to throw something else at me. He doesn't have all the time blues. Come on. And sometimes I think they're pill pushers, but I can tell you some of the things you've given me have really, really helped. Wow. All right? And then, before I close, prayer is not for the perfect, but the imperfect person. Elijah had a nature like ours. Paul had a nature like ours. So, what's going on in this verse isn't so much about healing and oil and how it's done and what kind of oil we buy and what we buy it. And I knew guys going around with a little flask of oil in their pocket all the time. That's true. Because, as I said, I hung around with some of these things. And this portion is the Christian life. A life of faith that needs prayer in every situation of life. Father, thank you for your word. It's hard to understand some things. Mentally we grasp them, but in our experience it's hard. And we ask you, Father, to teach us to pray. And when we pray, to always say, if it's your will, Father, just like our Lord did. Lord, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours. We have mental battles at times. Emotional problems from struggling with certain issues. We are saved by grace through faith, but we are human beings. The flesh is not dead, and the enemy is active. And help us to help one another, to encourage one another. We all need someone that we can be close to, that we can open up to, who will sympathize with us, who will understand, even if he or she has not gone through the problem. Thank you for James' writings. They're so clear, so practical. And there is an understanding if we will not allow ourselves to be obsessed by minor points. We thank you for your love for us in Jesus' name. Amen.